Acknowledge your daddy, Mark.
Acknowledge your daddy, Peter. welcome to our very dark hotel room.
Yes.
In a haunted building.
With a receptionist who is very into GDPR until he isn't.
Yeah.
Until it's too much work and then he just sort of forgets about it.
I never know whether it's a London thing whereby if you're in a hotel and you see, you walk into like a reception, no one will make eye contact with you. Everyone just is in their own little world.
Yeah.
And here, when I came into the reception this morning, having been outside for a morning cigarette, everybody turns. Everybody, what's your game?
To be fair, I mean, I think they probably saw some sights last night because the whole town was just taken over by wrestling fans.
Yeah, so we went to Clash in the City last night. That's its official title if you buy hooky merch.
Clash in the City.
The first thing I saw coming off the train was a guy with a shopping trolley, and it was just full of generic... Your number one sort of foam hand, sort of small. But he was also selling T-shirts, and the T-shirts said on them, Clash in the City. I walked past it, and I was like, oh, God. Oh, you know, how tawdry. And I really, really want one now. I really want one really badly.
The thing about, like, hooky merch is, like, you're going to get in trouble regardless. Mm. So changing one word is not going to change anything, to be quite frank.
I saw that guy three times over the course of the day, and each time he was standing with two policemen, and they were moving him around, and he was obviously being told he couldn't do what he was doing. I mean, 100% worth saying, this actual venue and location have been brilliant.
Yes.
They've closed off the whole of Cardiff.
As I
presume, they're a city because, as you pointed out the other day, there are no stadia in the middle of cities.
No, very, very rare. I mean, you've got St James's Park and a couple of others, but, I mean, certainly not a roofed one anywhere.
No.
Like, Wembley's a nightmare to get back from. The O2 is most nights as well.
It's like,
there's very big, there's very few massive, massive venues you can do a show like this at and have it covered and it be in the middle of the city. It's just fantastic. People complaining that it was in Wales, but, I mean, it was the only option. It was the only option.
Completely. And I suppose, you know, the other thing is they're used to doing, Cardiff the city is used to having stadium events. And they're used to having 60,000 people turn up. So they had all of the roads closed off in the centre. So it was just like a sort of weird, like modern paradise where you could just stroll around and there was never any cars.
It was a little bit sort of to draw a comparison with like WrestleMania, which obviously the WrestleMania we went to was like out in the sticks. It was in a purpose-built sort of bit of NFL stadium. And obviously that's built and geared up to support the commercialisation of that particular product. So everything is... owned by WrestleMania or the people who own the stadium. Here, there's not as many sort of like options to like just sell your stuff sort of thing. So you kind of, basically the bars and the micro breweries near the stadium are the ones that make all the money, which is nice. I mean,
it was a funny thing going into the stadium because, you know, again, we were spoiled going to WrestleMania and the American stadium experience is very, very different. But when we were in there, there was nowhere to get anything to eat. I didn't see anyone having access to any food.
I just wanted a hot dog. Yeah. I had half a pipe of Pringles and the rest was just cider and beer. And to be honest, so I would usually take the opportunity because Cardiff is the best city and it's just fucking, the people love you and it's just a fucking party town. Mm. I would have stayed out. But my antacid levels were dangerously low and I had to go to Tesco's and drank an entire half bottle of Gaviscon. Who knew you could do that?
Amazing.
I sloshed a load back and I was like, that's half the bottle gone.
I bet the Gaviscon people are like, that is the last thing you should do.
All my insides have gone smooth like when cows get villus problems. But it was a really, really good night. And we'll go on to talk about the show. But everyone was bloody lovely.
Yeah, and, well, you know, we made the decision because we'd basically been to WrestleMania. We made the decision on this one that we would buy the cheapest tickets available.
Yes.
And we were literally on the back row at the top. There was nothing behind us. There was some fabric. There were some two lines of chairs that have been covered over. And again, in an American stadium, not to continually bash Britain, but in an American stadium, they'd have had escalators all the way up, which there were none. But they'd have had other entrances so that you didn't have to walk up at least 50 rows worth of stairs.
I think to get
to your seats. It was mad.
I think it's, I mean, when was that built? 2003 or something? Millennium Stadium. I think it's showing some design decisions from back in the day.
But it is
very rare at a roofed stadium. But again, we will compare it to WrestleMania simply because it's the only big wrestling show I've been to that scale.
I think it's...
And this was like, what was it, 62,000?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't buy that because I'm fairly certain capacity is 72.
Yeah.
And a quarter of it was closed off.
Yes, entirely. I do think, you know, well, I know we're comparing it to WrestleMania, it's of limited interest to everybody. But there is, the thing about that is, Britain always pretends it's a world power. And it's only when you go abroad and see how other people do it. Like Germany, it's Subway. It's really quiet. It's really clean. And everyone's very polite. And there's loads of... And you sort of come back here and everyone's like, Britain, greatest country on the earth. And you go, there's literally a man stabbing a pigeon, right? And that's happening on every station. And I slightly feel that about Stadia as well. That you go, you know, it's the Millennium Stadium, the biggest that Britain has to offer. And you go, oh... It's a lot of it is just untreated concrete.
It's like going to like the San Siro or the Maracanã or something. So all these legendary stadiums that have seen so many. Oh my God, this is falling to pieces.
It was funny. The show itself, I thought was pretty good. It's difficult to tell from where we were.
Yeah, there were some who tweeted in a picture of their
200-pound seats.
200-pound seats.
Yeah,
it was.
I'm about to get there.
It looks like their view was about as good as ours with our 60-pound seats.
Yeah, that was Tim McMahon, and he had a 200-pound seat. That is, it's not 10 times our price. What, 7 times, 8 times more? And I mean, the ring is so small. I'm not even sure he had.
He was lower down, I think.
Yeah, but that's even on the slope. Yeah. So imagine being at the back of the bit where it's flat.
200.
Just get to see nothing.
Good God.
There were some nice bits with the video screen that I liked in that they'd not managed to make it all sync up properly.
Mm.
So the show was playing out, but they still had the E from Clash of the Castle visible on one edge. Just little bits like that where you go, that's very British. You know, it's not quite clicked.
But it was really good and a lot of fun. And I think, you know, we'll go through the matches. But like, I think when people look back, I think the main event was, or what happened at the very end of the main event was very much sour. The rest of the card, and there were some nice moments in there.
There were. We will talk about the main event first. I think that's the key. For me, the booking decision that was made there is understandable, but also horrible. And when you have a show like this that sold 65,000 tickets, and you've built it around the hometown hero, Cardiff-born Drew McIntyre, when you've built it around the hometown hero winning the belt, then it's a very difficult thing to leave without that guy winning.
Yeah.
And he did... they had a great match, a really physical match. It was exciting. People were well into it. And they took the decision, because it's best for their business everywhere else in the long term, to not hotshot the belt and go, here it is for Drew McIntyre, and then worry about getting it off him later. And instead what they did was they went, well, Roman will go over, and that made Roman a bigger star. But what it did was, it pretty much says to you, if Drew McIntyre is not winning that belt on this night, he is never winning that belt.
Leave the company.
Yeah, your career is over. You have peaked. And the fact that he's been pushing for this show for years, and the fact that he's, you know, it finally happened, and the fact that they did a legitimate huge number, they will have done so much money in merch as well. I mean, just the queues for their merch stalls were probably 200 strong.
Yeah. People are coming from Germany, people coming from Europe and stuff.
But people will they wanted that moment where they could all cheer and go, yay!
Yeah.
And the WWE decided, no, we won't give you that. What we'll do, we'll give you that moment afterwards, where Tyson Fury, who the WWE, I think, believe is far more popular than he is, actually.
Or just far more kind of, like, versatile. You know what I mean? Because, So Roman Reigns wins, and basically Austin Theory comes in with his Money in the Bank contract.
Yeah.
And he wants a shot at the title.
And Tyson Fury just knocks him out.
And Tyson Fury knocks him out. That was funny. That was a good moment. That was funny because I was just like, ha.
Yeah.
But no respect for the sanctity of the Money in the Bank concert.
No, absolutely.
You can't have someone in the crowd knocking someone out.
No, exactly. And it's deeply unfair. they had the debut of Solo Sikoa. I always forget the surname. Solo Sikoa.
Right.
I think it's Sikao.
Yeah.
And he is one of the legitimate non-kayfabe cousins. He is part of the Samoan dynasty.
Right, okay.
He's been in NXT. He's a good performer. Mm. And they chose to have him interfere to sort of cost Drew McIntyre the match. The problem for me with that piece of booking as well is they're going, well, it gets him over strong in a huge main event. But nobody knew who he was.
Nobody knew who he was. He appears. Does he pull a referee? That he pulls a referee.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I said,
oh, God, who's that guy?
Yeah. Like, what? And the level of interference wasn't enough that you go, oh, that's why Drew didn't get a fair shot. You just go, oh, the ref was pulled out. Oh, well, I'm sure he'll be able to come. No, he can't come back. He can't come back. At the end, Tyson Fury got in the ring and did a face-off with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Which I am very worried is going to be the backup plan if they can't work out anything with Rock for WrestleMania.
Right, WrestleMania, right.
And it will be Roman Reigns versus Tyson Fury.
Okay, right.
That doesn't sound like it's going to be an attractive match. but then Drew McIntyre, having lost the biggest match of his career, and it's the biggest match he will ever have in his career. Rather than be devastated and take the applause and he should have got on the mic and gone, I've let you all down. Do something big and emotional that people don't do. And that would have made him a bigger star. And instead, he's like, hey, Tyson, why don't we sing a song together?
No, you know? And then they sing a song.
Oh, my God.
The man who just shook hands with Roman Reigns, your mortal enemy.
Yeah.
Who just got the belt.
Yes, he did, didn't he? He shook hands with him, like, I respect you. And then he's like, and now I'm going to sing with this absolute dildo. Let's do a natural song for two sportsmen to sing in a massive stadium. Let's sing Don McLean's American Pie.
Well, I know that's Tyson Fury. He thinks he's got a surprising voice for a weird homophobic man. he's sort of, so that's kind of his vibe. But then I thought. Oh, they've gone to ads. The show's finished.
Yes.
The show's over. They hadn't gone to ads.
It was.
It all went out.
And it seemed also for something so like off of what they normally do.
Yeah,
they hadn't seemed to have worked it out. So Drew McIntyre, the last bit I can remember him doing was going, so how does everyone feel about singing Sweet Caroline? And then they went into Oasis. So Sally can wait. What are we doing?
What's going on?
What
a mess.
In that moment, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm glad you didn't win this big match.
Imagine if this was all his idea.
Yeah.
But there was so like a real fucking shit-eating grin from fucking McIntyre. I always think with the term shit-eating grin, is it like, it's like shit-eating grin is like kind of like, yeah, I'm really pleased.
I'm eating all that delicious shit.
Yeah, is that what it is?
A shit-eating grin. I think it's very much like
under duress.
Like a
sort of trying to make the best of
a shit-eating grin. It's you have been fed shit and you're trying to style it out.
There we go. Okay, yeah. Well, he's got a shit-eating grin.
I do feel from. I had said to you earlier as well, I'd watched this happen, and they had the match for the Intercontinental belt between Gunther and Sheamus.
Yes.
That was a really good match.
Yeah.
Very physical. And Sheamus lost.
Body.
Now, I said to you at the time, the fact that he's lost
almost
guarantees that Drew McIntyre
will win. Yeah.
Why did you take the two British people on the card and decide to have them lose in the biggest show in their hometowns? There were kids dressed up as Sheamus.
Right.
There were kids dressed up as Drew Galloway.
Yeah.
And they just... Or Drew McIntyre. Sorry, I'm doing an old wrestling name there. Drew McIntyre. And they had their heroes lose.
Yeah, but of course, Sheamus is from Dublin, so he's Irish.
Yes.
So I sometimes confuse the Isles.
Yes. And
it upsets everyone every time.
And they're very much is the big issue, isn't it? I don't imagine the Irish get that wrong. I imagine it's just the English.
For hundreds of years.
Yeah. Although that said, they are packaged together by WWE as being lot.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's the same as, you know, if they're from I was going to say the Isle of Uist, but then I know that is part of Britain. So I'm just terrified about getting the Irish angry. It's making me panic. Gunther, I'm glad that he's the Intercontinental Champion. I'm a huge fan of his. Mm. He also, I think I've mentioned it on a previous show, but he spent more years really working on the British scene than Sheamus ever did. Mm. And, you know, God bless him. But was that night the night that you couldn't say Sheamus goes over? You know,
yeah.
There was only one person who also comes from Britain who they didn't mention at all. And I think he's probably, is he British? I can't remember if he's from Northern Ireland. No, I think he's from South. So he's Irish, which is Finn Balor.
Right, yeah.
And okay. Finn Balor was involved in that tag match.
Sheamus fought in Dublin.
Had the turn of Dominic Mysterio.
Right, yeah.
Against his dad and against Edge. But that is worth noting on that. The reception for Edge was as big as any reception for any wrestler.
Yeah, that was interesting, yeah.
It talked, I think, about the age of the crowd, a lot of them as well,
yeah.
Which is he is someone who they used to see in the same way as they used to see Rey Mysterio. But Edge was one who, of course, he'd retired. They didn't think they'd get to see him again. Mm. And he got a proper superstar reaction.
Yeah.
That also, as I remember it, was a fairly fun match. But I think by that point, we were sort of like, you know, having more fun talking to one another about things.
Well, the family in front of us told you to be
quiet. What a strange family. We didn't have anyone sitting next to us. We had a sort of like gap. So we were just the two of us, an isolated thing. And we were just talking through it. But they did want to watch it in silence.
But I'm just like, well, I mean, everyone's making noise. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm usually very. I'm usually very careful about what I do in public, like stuff like that. I get very embarrassed very easily.
Yeah.
And it was just strange because everyone was shouting. It's like,
it's a wrestling show. It's a wrestling show. And plus, the other thing is, it's not like you can go, I've paid £200 for each of these tickets. You paid 30 quid. And they were sitting there. But the key thing was the dad and the sons, and the sons must have been 20 odd, and the dad must have been in his 60s. They were all silently and assiduously filming every single introduction.
Yeah.
From what are the penultimate worst seats in the stadium.
It was like, it was very weird because it was like, they were all filming the same thing at the same time. So just get one person to film it.
Yeah. Why you've brought your family up as well to go, we must
record. Get
your Bluetooth
on, just send it over.
The other thing is, guys, the network is there and they film it professionally. And you know what? It's instant. So it's not like you're doing a thing where you're going, this is what you won't have seen. This is literally what you will have seen, but from a worse position. I remember when we were at WrestleMania, the guy in front of us, he was doing a lot of filming, but he was putting it straight up onto Twitch and he was, you know, or Instaring it and stuff like that. But they weren't even sharing it on social media. Just this weird three almost identical videos of distant entrances. People are strange,
they
aren't
are
they?
Strange.
I endured a lot of people telling me I look like Mick Foley.
There were so many people. And what got me was so many people were dressed like Mick Foley anyway.
Yeah.
Were they saying that to them people? No.
No, exactly. And it's, you know, I obviously wasn't in costume. You know, it's just the way
just
I look.
You've just got thick hair and a big beard. That's the thing, isn't
I
it?
I met really? A man outside and that was his opening thing. He said, you look just like Mick Foley. And then I think he was from Birmingham. He began telling me about how he'd recently taken his kids to see Slipknot in Poland. And
what?
It's funny how people have disposable income that you don't imagine, isn't it? If someone said to me, are you going to go to see a gig in Poland? I'd go, well, no, because
no,
I'm...
that's ridiculous.
I'm not the Aga Khan, you know. But he was telling me all about that. But he said they bumped into some of the wrestlers and the wrestlers were really nice to the kids. And he said, but they weren't as nice as Slipknot were to his kids. That Slipknot were even nicer. I thought it was a really good opener. And it was the return of Bayley. Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai versus Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka.
Asuka!
Asuka! Nice to see some of the people we've not seen before, like Asuka, like Bayley.
Yeah.
I thought Bayley's reaction was thrilling as well, which is people were really pleased to have her back.
That
huge, ooh, are Bayley, I want to know if it'll be my girl. Going round, she was very good as well because she had that exciting sort of like reaction, which inside she must have been just thrilled and screaming about. But in the ring, she did some really nice stuff where she'd tag in, there'd be a huge cheer, she'd tag straight out again. And I thought, you know, she is such a good performer, and it was lovely to see those little bits. You just go, oh, you know, glad I witnessed that with my own eyes from back here. I saw the Aunt Bayley do well.
Yeah, exactly. They were very, very far away, but it was a really, really good shot. But again, if you paid much more money, it's not like you got very, you know, much closer.
No,
to those,
not at all. And it is a funny thing for a lot of people. Some people were saying to me, you know, it's their first WWE show and things like that. And I think it is funny when you do see it from a distance and you don't have commentary. It is a stranger thing to watch. It can be a bit sort of disorientating. You just sort of go, it all bleeds into one.
Yeah.
And you do feel a bit detached from it. But yeah, I mean, it was the part of the thing that I enjoy the most about it is the fandom. And it was really nice. It was nice to meet so many, you know, of the Pat Patronsons and the poor freeloaders. As well, who listened to the regular feed, and that was really really nice. It was it's great to meet all every single one of them is always really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
You never meet that bloke who, for example, was on television very briefly wearing a Better Dad Than Chris Benoit t-shirt, which got through. If we met him, he would never have heard of the podcast. he's the absolute opposite of
How the hell
Pat Patronsons alike.
How the hell did he get that through? Oh, well, I guess you can't check everyone's clothes, I suppose. But
they didn't check us when we went in, did we?
No.
You go through a knife arch, and then that was it.
Yeah, we didn't get patted down, did we?
No, not patted down at all. You know, again, British. You know, can't be arsed.
I'm looking at it like
everyone who come. I don't think so. No,
I'm not touching blokes.
Tell them we'll do it. But I'm telling you this for free.
We're not doing it. So Liv Morgan defeated Shayna Baszler. I can't really remember that match, to be honest. It's like we got lost in the mix a little bit.
Yeah, it was nothing special from where we were.
Seth Rollins against Matt Riddle. That was it again. Just
a bit of a fight.
Spooky boy. Yeah.
He did his joke. He's jokering to the max. And there was some, you know, we saw the pre-show as well.
Yes. Yeah,
I was in getting a drink at the bar before we went over to the stadium, and there was a girl there who was wearing a Undertaker big red t-shirt, so a sort of early 2000s one, so a long time fan, and she had that thing which I think is so charming, it almost breaks my heart, where you see people who are really into stuff and they see someone else wearing a shirt and they will just start a conversation with them. Aww. You know, and I was really heartwarmed by that. It wasn't with me, it was with the bloke in front of me, and she said to him, I mean, the pre-show will be starting fairly soon. She said, who do you think is going to be in the pre-show? Because they haven't announced it. And the bloke behind just went, I hope it's Rick Rude.
I hope it's Roman Reigns.
It is funny how people's wrestling things are stuck so long ago. That it's,
mine are, but that was by design.
It's a bit like when people say, who do you think you are? Giant A-Stacks. And it's really sort of like, wow. That phrase is probably getting its 70th year of use. Oh, so sweet. There were some good costumes as well. I liked, I say good. I mean, they were shabby. That was very British and enjoyable.
So the situation we're having with the live show next week, get your tickets from kingsplace.co.uk. Come watch us do two shows. One at, what's the first one? Half 4?
Half 4 it starts.
Yeah,
and
the
then
second one's a little later in the evening.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing two shows, and I've got to come up with some costumes. And the problem with the sort of, as we head into the Attitude Era, a lot of the costumes are like stag do costumes.
Yes.
And so like, it's lads at the train station on the way to Blackpool for a night out or Liverpool or something, and so it's quite hard to sort. So I have to sort of, I'm having to sort of spend a little bit more to make my own, which will look worse, but it will look heavier, it will look more quality.
That's very much it.
But there was a lot of stag do costumes yesterday.
They all have every fabric that you see on a wrestling costume seems to be thinner than any fabric you've ever had in your normal day to day life.
It's a suggestion of a fabric because they know you're only going to wear it once, so it's going to get torn.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, there's a nice little video which I'll retweet of just a kid hitting one of the Mick Foley's over the head with a chair.
With a chair, yeah.
When we were at the Sainsbury's last night, so the show finished, we walked past the station, and oh my God, Britain! I mean, they just had no. They had nothing in place to work out what would happen when everyone left the stadium. So there's just like, you know, lines and lines and lines of people queuing.
So some people are going London, some people are going Bristol. So, you know, so the queues go in different sort of directions.
But they basically shut the station, didn't they, and said to everyone, "Get in the cattle pens, we may let you in, we may not." And we went to just the supermarket just after there, and while you were inside buying your Gaviscon, there was a dad who had obviously he'd got these souvenir chairs, so they've been in sort of the early rows. And he was sitting, both his kids were sitting on one of the chairs, and he was giving them a stern talking to.
Nice.
I was like, oh, good. Getting told off on my Clash at the Castle chair.
Well, that's the real Clash at the Castle. Matty Della, a friend of the show, he He said, the weirdest thing wasn't even in the show. We were stood outside, and who walked out the stadium clutching a commemorative chair? Charlotte Church.
Oh, good. I mean, they didn't pick out the celebrities. They picked out Bret Hart. Yes, I'd gone to the bar for that bit, which was annoying.
Hart, didn't you? But it was only a little regal wave from him, and then Adrian Street.
Adrian Street and Miss Linda. I was delighted to see them.
Yeah.
I would very much have liked Kendo Nagasaki to be there. people like that. Just all quite obscure, but really well-regarded British wrestlers of the 80s. Ladies and gentlemen, he's here tonight, superstar Mal Sanders.
Rollerball rocker shoes.
So, I mean, it was great fun. I think that all the matches seemed like they were hard fought and they seemed satisfying. Yeah. There wasn't anything stupid,
no.
But the decision not to pull the trigger just for a good feel-good thing. He would have been doing press this morning as the new champion. They would have been all over the papers. They could have had a lot of good positive publicity out of this.
Small market. Like, they just look at the market and go, too small.
And that's it. And I think the problem is, I think
they're saddled with the McIntyre program. Then, aren't they?
That's it. And I think the problem with that is, I think people would think twice about coming to a show like this with the ticket prices as they are.
Yeah.
And going, actually, last time, what you didn't have was you didn't have this great moment.
Mm.
What you did is you sort of went, oh, I felt like I was going to get something there that I didn't get.
It told me that you know, Triple H, they just sort of said, this market is too small and we don't respect it, but we'll take your money.
Yeah.
We'll take your money, but we won't give you what you want.
Yeah.
And because this is bigger than you, to be quite frank. I understand it, but it does. It's just a bit of a shame for something that literally happens every 30 years.
Well, that's it. And I think, you know, that is a key part of it as well.
Mm.
The fact that this, they have been saying, you know, this only happens every 30 years, then to not give the people the fairy tale ending,
yeah,
I think is a really bad decision.
And then to end it with a generational boxing talent, but you know, he's hardly.
Pete, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I'm not really a fan of boxing.
Yeah.
I imagine that's the same for a vast majority of people there. Tyson Fury is, you know, he's a big name, but what he isn't is he's not a Ronda Rousey or a Conor McGregor, who actually could, you know, whip up something that would be, you know, that takes, if you like, some of the best of pro wrestling and puts it into the legitimate, you know, sports arena.
Mm.
And Tyson Fury hasn't showed me anything in wrestling. He seems like a really charismatic boxer, but a charismatic boxer is very, very low down on the list of charisma of pro wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I think they overestimate how popular Fury is, and they underestimate how little people get to see the WWE and how they built this up as a once-in-a-lifetime show, a generational show, and then they didn't really deliver on that.
Mm.
And I think that that's I think that will slightly fuck it for another 30 years. Wonderful stuff.
Well, we've had a lot of fun. Thanks to everyone who came over to say hello. And we'll see you at the live show at King's Place this weekend.
Yeah, that's it. So first show, King of the Ring 96. Yep. Second show, Bash at the Beach 96.
Lovely.
They are two key shows. And there's a quiz in the middle as well.
Yes.
And it's going to be absolutely banging.
Mark's got
today,
prizes.
I'll put up the first video of unboxing your quiz show prizes. It's a T-shirt. We saw a couple in the wild yesterday.
Yes.
Which I'm amazed by. It's such a bad shirt.
What, the actual shirt that you had?
The actual one. I saw people wearing it genuinely. I saw a guy who had his own Yowie Wowie leather jacket as well.
Wowie Yowie.
I mean. Hey, so look, until next time, as they say in Wales, they say, wrestle me, Peter.
Wrestle me, Mark.
WrestleMe is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.